Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
Yes, it is, and a great big Arizona good morning to you all. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Here on the beginning front end of our Arizona summer, we want to talk today about making that back patio more comfortable so you can enjoy the outdoors here through now till October. In studio with me this morning is Mr. Bruce Stumbo from Rosie Remodeling. Bruce, thanks for taking your Saturday and joining me in here, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, we weren't sure if my voice could last the full show, and Romy was camping up on the north rim of the Grand Canyon, and I wasn't sure he was going to get back.
Yeah, I wouldn't have come back,
that's for sure.
I'd still be up there. Oh. You wouldn't have seen me.
Absolutely. So this morning, we're going to get started this hour talking about making your back patio more comfortable. But we'll take calls on any project you're trying to get done around your house, home, castle, or cabin. 1-888-767-4348 puts you in touch with our call screener, who'll get your name and your question, and we'll get you on air just as quick as we can. All right, the basics. You move into that new house, and the builder poured you a little 3x5 concrete slab out the back door, and the rest of the backyard is a blank slate. No patio cover, no nothing.
Got you a dirt lot.
You've got yourself a dirt lot with no shade. And the first thing I tell people is, look, if we're going to create any kind of outdoor sitting area in Arizona, your number one consideration is shade. You've got to get into shade. You're going to immediately take about 15 to 20 degrees off the perceived temperature. The ambient temperature is going to be the same, but you lose that direct heat gain from the sun. So in shading your back patio, you know, you've got several options. There's the shaded pergolas that now they've gotten pretty sophisticated with smart technology. Where they're like the old jalousie windows with slats that move, and you can close them when you want and open them when you want, letting a little breeze and sunlight through. But should the monsoon come in and you want to sit out there and listen to the raindrops hit the aluminum top of the roof, that's pretty nice too. Yeah.
And they're so much more durable too than, you know, you'd see a lot of the old wood pergolas and stuff we see in backyards. And unfortunately, unless you stay on top of maintaining them, you know, staining them, sealing them, they just get dried out and get a little water on them here or there. So a lot of these aluminum products and some of these other ones just seem to do better out in the sun here.
Absolutely. And one of the things do-it-yourselfers will do wrong very often is attach or install shade sails.
Mm-hmm.
And they put teacup hooks in their fascia, and then they grommet a sunscreen, and they hook it on there, and then they take it out to a pole in the yard and drive it in. No one realizes how much force those shades are exposed to in even just a mild, gentle breeze.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you just think about if you have a flagpole on the front of your house, and just watch what that 3x5 flag does in the wind here, and then imagine you've now got a 6-foot by 10-foot sail that you've attached to the fascia of your house, which is just nailed on to the rafter ends, basically. You know, it's not meant to hold a sail in your backyard.
It wasn't too long ago I was at a client's house in the Arcadia area where he had installed his own shade screen on the side of the yard where he had his little dog run, you know, to shade the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got there, as a matter of fact, it was last summer during the monsoons. It was about July. By the time I got there, 12 feet of a 2x10 fascia was laying on the ground attached to a shade sail. And I got to talking to this gentleman. He said, yeah, I started with cup hooks and grommets. And those got ripped out right away. He says, so then I threw bolted the fascia to the shade screen and mechanically attached the shade screen to the fascia. And well, that, I mean, you're taking this home was Arcadia, built in the late 50s, early 60s. Back then, our fascias were nailed on with 20 penny hot dip galvanized nails, the strongest gripping nails you could buy. And this shade sail, which was only about 4 feet wide, but about 12 feet long, ripped off 12 feet of a 2x8 rough sawn fascia. Just ripped it right off. Yeah. Drip edge, the first two shingles of the roof and everything.
Those through bolts, they held.
Through bolts held. They sure did. So shade's important. I'm not a big believer in installing your own shade sail. If you could see the engineering footing reports for what you have to do to really install those correctly, you'd be intimidated and impressed at the same time. You need a pretty significant grounded structure to mount those because they represent so much uplift. When those storms come in creating uplift, they'll pull those poles right out of the ground, and your shade sail is now becoming a javelin, you know, into your neighbor's backyard.
Your walls, and find it in your pool and everywhere else. Who knows how much damage it's done.
So talking shade, I'm a big believer in a solid roof back patio. Now, a lot of people cheat there as well. They get their 2x6 or 2x8 rafters, and they put them up to the fascia, and they back nail them through the fascia. And that's not to code. You actually need to cut your roof overhang back to the bearing plate of the back wall, and those 2x6 fascias or 2x8 joists need to rest on the top plate of your exterior wall, and they need to be hurricane strapped in place. Now, once you've done that, you have to decide how far out you're going to go. And I'm a big believer in deep patios. Mm-hmm. You know, you put a 12-foot patio on, and you put a 4.5-foot coffee table out there with chairs all the way around it, you don't have room to sit there and play a card game or visit or barbecue or eat and walk around.
You run out of space real fast on a small patio like that.
Golly. So I say make it as deep as you can. And generally speaking, just so you know, most lumber yards will help you with this. You'll need a building permit. You have footings for the support post. You have the appropriate size bearing post. You have the appropriate size header to support the outside edge of the patio. Then you've got the appropriate size joist. And a 2x6 will generally span almost 12 feet. A 2x8, almost 16 feet. Not quite, but pretty close. That's a rule of thumb. And I believe where we cheat just a little bit is rather than run that joist from the bearing plate flush to the exterior beam, we cut a crow's mouth in that joist so that it raises it up just a little bit. And the reason we want it raised up a little bit is because the very next thing you're going to do after you put this patio on and after you put the roof on and after you get it painted, what's the very next thing you're going to do?
You're going to want to put a fan up there.
You're going to put a ceiling. And if you're as tall as Bruce, putting that ceiling fan at any less than 8 feet is going to be dangerous.
Yeah, you're have some marks on your forehead if you don't think about that.
It'd be a guillotine.
Yes, exactly. Now, let me tell you a couple tricks that you may not know about ceiling fans. The less number of blades on a fan, the more air the fan will move. And if you tuck that fan in too close to the ceiling, it won't move very much air either. So put it as long a stem as you can and still be safe. and as few blades as possible. Generally threes, as few as you can go. There are some outdoor fans that are actually single-bladed, which are pretty cool. They move the most amount of air. Intuitively, you would think, well, I'll get a five-blade out there, and it'll move the most air. And it doesn't.
No.
It moves the least amount of air.
Yeah, it definitely is counterintuitive. You look at a big five-bladed fan whipping, you know, going real fast, but it's tucked up against that ceiling. You stand underneath it, and you think, where's all this air this thing's making? But it's not moving a whole lot. It looks good, but
it's just cavitating is all it is. And I would tell you to buy a fan rated for the outdoors. And I would tell you to seriously consider spend enough money for the better fans that have a real wood blade on them. Because if you get the simulated wood or the vinyl wood in the heat, they'll start sagging. And pretty soon the fan blades look like an upside-down buttercup.
Yeah, even some of the, you'll see outdoor rated, but they have those, you know, simulated wood blades. Yeah. After a few years, you know, I don't know where they test those things, but I'm not sure it's 112 degrees wherever they test them out.
They can sag after a couple years, so be careful with that. So we've talked about the solid roof cover and the guidelines on putting that up and getting a little electricity out there for your ceiling fan. While you're out there running electric or you've got the electrician at the house, go ahead and run some speaker wires out there. Sooner or later, you're going to want a whole house stereo sound system. You might as well get the wiring put in at that point while you're doing it. The next few things I want to talk about is other auxiliary shades, as well as do you mist a back patio, or do you put an evap cooler on a back patio? What are the other ways we can get these patio environments cooled down to the point you can enjoy them all year long? Just like we did the 4th of July weekend. We had the whole family over. I mean, we had my two daughters, the son-in-laws. I had my son, the daughter-in-law, the kids. I had my mom, my sister. And just right about the middle of the barbecue, the doorbell rang. And I thought, well, who isn't here yet? For heaven's sakes, we got the whole gang here. And it was my neighbor. And he said, Rosie, do you realize you've got 11 Sanderson Ford vehicles parked out in your front yard? I said, yeah, I know that. It's the only place we buy. It's the only place I let my family buy. It's the only place I let my friends buy. And I tell you what, from all my family, all my friends, and all my work associates that I send to Sanderson Ford, they all only have one thing to say. That was the best car buying experience I've ever experienced in my life. Sanderson Ford, get over there and check them out.